Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's really good to see you. Are you pleased to see one another? Will you greet one another, to those to the left and to your right, those you haven't said hello to this morning? Please say welcome to those that you don't know. Everyone's welcome in the house of the Lord. It's good to be together. You know, something significant happened on Friday night and Saturday morning. What happened? It rained. But let me tell you, that's something I really believe. God is pouring out his Spirit. And that's an indication what happens in the natural is something that's happening in the spirit. I know we live in Lombardy, and I've never seen so much water. The water table is so high, the water is actually flowing out through the properties onto the road. And it's an incredible thing that the water there is just seeping out just so naturally, and God wants to pour his Spirit out. But while we were worshiping the Lord, and thank you to the worship team, it was wonderful to worship the Lord today. It was really tender and sweet this morning. But that one song, History Maker, you know what history actually means? It means his story. And we have a job to do to allow Christ to work through us. And I just really just sense the Spirit of God wanting to encourage us is this matter of prayer. You know, I think the church has got it all wrong that prayer is the prayer meeting. That is the biggest lie from the pit of hell. It's part of the process. But we have got to continually and be devoted to prayer. Everything should be in prayer. And prayer is actually a place of communicating with God. And I just really want to encourage you, in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And I just see the life of Christ, our Lord himself. Every aspect of his life was actually worked out through prayer. He went to the Father, he got instruction from the Father, then he ministered out of a position of prayer. And when you come to Christ, you better learn how to pray. It's one of the tools that you need to learn how to do as you follow Christ. You need to learn how to pray. You need to know the different types of prayer. You need to know how the prayers of agreement. You need to exercise faith in prayer. You need how to speak to your mountain. You need to be able to work prayer out, the prayer of agreement. And I think the church is lacking in this area. You think it's just, oh, well, I'm going to talk to God. No, there's a lot to learn about prayer. And I really want to encourage you that. But what I really wanted to say in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about putting the armor of God, but at the end of that portion, in verse 18, it says, put on the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and then it's linked together, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And I really just sense as I was standing that the church has put down her sword. We've put the word down. And the devil has made us weak because we don't have our swords up and praying. And I believe the Lord is encouraging us, pray. And I was just thinking back as a young Christian, and even now, I take everything to the Lord in prayer. When issues actually happen, I pray first and let God work it out. And I want to encourage you. I'm just thinking about you and your family and children and sickness and disease and issues. Pray. When you hit the workplace, and things happen in the workplace, pray. Even audibly, just say, do you mind if we just pray about this? I've been in boardroom meetings where we say, let's pray. And God just gives manifest wisdom. In elders' meetings, I want to tell you, elders' meetings are not meetings to discuss organization. The majority of our time in elders' meeting is prayer. We pray because we work it out through God, with God. And I want to encourage you, please take every opportunity to pray. You know, you might be sitting with a friend or work colleague, and they tell you this issue has actually happened. Don't tell them, I will pray for you. Pray for them there and then. And trust God in the name of Jesus to pray and believe. I really believe the Lord wants to use every single one of us in this area. And I really encourage you to use this opportunity to pray. Don't put your sword down. If you put your sword down, please put it up and start to use it again. You'll be absolutely... Don't only pray when you get into crisis. Yes, God honors that and answers that, but don't only do that when crisis actually hits, that you start to pray. Father, we just thank you that as we come to your word, this incredible outworking of who you are, your very word, this gift that you've given us, the privilege that you've given us to be under your word. Father, we just ask that as there's the preaching of your word today, as the light of your word goes out, as the power of your word goes out today, I pray for transformation power for every single one of us here this morning. That, Lord, that as you outwork your word today amongst us, it will bring life and bring freedom and transformation and renewal to every one of us that hears it now in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue looking to the book of Philippi, the letter written to the church at Philippi, and the title of the message is Looking for High Honor. And we're going to be discussing, and I'll read it now, Philippians 3, 10 to 11. I want to just encourage you, Paul loved the church at Philippi. It wasn't a troubled church. It was going through issues. They had hardships, absolutely, but the reality is Paul loved them, and he was trying to encourage them with the joy of the Lord to find the fullness of God. And he writes this letter to them to drop some secrets and some things to them that as they hold on to, they will find a greater joy in the Lord. So I want to read in context, and if you're turning your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 11, I want to just read in the context. We're going to be dealing with verse 10 and 11 now, but just in the context of this matter, Philippians 3, verses 7 to 11. But whatever I gain, I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered loss for all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may count him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings and become like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So in the context of that, Paul gets us to a place. He starts to share with the Christians there. He starts to talk about Christ and how do you find the fullness of Christ. He tells the Christians that Christ is their life, but he gets to this place. He says there's got to be a loss before you gain this Christ. Now, I trained as an accountant, and I understand things from a balance sheet point of view, and a balance sheet has assets and liabilities, which makes up owner's equity. But what is this asset? And Paul gets them to recognize and to us today to say, is if you want this asset, you got to remove the liability. That only in your balance sheet is an asset. And Paul says, I counted all these things as loss. Everything that he had, everything that he gained that was good, you had to lose that to gain Christ. And this transaction has to take place in every one of our lives. There's got to be a subtraction for an addition. You've got to subtract all that who we are. We've got to recognize that we died with Christ on the cross. And when we see that we have died, that's the subtraction, that we can have the addition of Christ. And I want to just say to you, that's one of the biggest fights that we have in the world. We don't realize we have this greatest asset that man could ever have. The world could never, ever give you anything like Christ. And to understand this gift and this person of God, Christ himself has been given to us. And when we do that transaction and when we subtract everything that we hold on to so dearly and all we have is Christ, you have a boundless richness that the world will never give you. Sally brought it out in the prophecy that we will lose all things and gain Christ. Now that's got to take place in every one of our lives. We've got to see that Christ is our everything, that he's our fullness. And yes, we've got to live life and we've got to eat food and we've got to sleep and we've got to cleanse ourselves and all those things. But that's not the essence of life. Life is only found in Christ. There's no other way. Jesus says, I will give you eternal life, and he is our eternal life. And I really want to encourage you. You see, this asset, as Jesus even said in the Gospels, as we pursue it, is the pearl of great price. It is Christ. We've got to pursue it. We've got to sell everything that we might gain the pearl of great price. The parable also says when we see the field of great worth, we sell everything to go and buy that. And I want to encourage you, do that. See Jesus as the pearl of great price. This is this incorruptible seed. I love gardening. And I love a good garden, and you know, I like to go to the nursery and buy seedlings, but I find sometimes that the seedlings are just so expensive now. I'd rather go and buy the pack of seeds and then go and prepare the bed and then sow the seeds and then water it and just see them sprout up and grow into this beautiful, whatever the chrysanthemums or whatever you plant in, that they grow up and become absolutely beautiful. We have received this incorruptible seed called Christ, who's been planted inside of us. And if we will water it and we will allow the Spirit to grow him in us, we will produce this fruit that is more beautiful than anything in all this world. And it's up to you to work together with God the Holy Spirit to see this fruit actually grow through you. So the text for today is Philippians 3. I just need to put it in context of what Paul's talking about. He gets to the pinnacle of what he's trying to get the church to grow into. And if in Philippians 3, verse 10 and 11, and he says here, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings and become like him in his death, that I may any means possible may attain the resurrection from the dead. And I'd like to unpack that today. And I just know this portion of scripture has been a key portion of scripture in my life. And I want to just say, I hope it's a key portion in your life, because it's something to attain that the Lord is, that we are born again, that we have received Christ, that we belong to him, but there's a growth and there's a development and there's a productivity that God has for us in Christ, that as we find this thing, Paul had walked with the Lord many years by this time that he wrote this. My understanding, when he wrote this, he'd been known the Lord for 30 years, and he gets to the place that he wants to take this church and even himself deeper and further. You know, there's a deeper walk in God, and I really believe the Lord wants to take us into that. So there's 5 points that I want to just cover as we look at this. Firstly, the righteousness of God. Secondly, knowing Christ. Thirdly, the power of his resurrection. And then fourthly, fellowship of his sufferings. And then fifthly, reach the resurrection reward. So the righteousness of God, which works powerfully in our lives. We discussed that on the 19th of December. But I just want to encourage you with this again. We have received his righteousness. You are in right standing with God, that you are no longer a sinner. You're a son of God. You're a child of God, that your sin has been taken away as far as the east is from the west, and you've been given right standing and righteousness before you. And this is God. This is nothing that you've earned or outworked. It's been given to you as a free gift in Christ. Now we need to outwork it. And Paul says we outwork this through faith. And I want to just say the world needs righteousness. Matthew 6:33 actually says to us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And when we live life and as we represent the Lord and as we live in him, there's a righteousness of God that needs to be outworked in our lives. The world is full of unrighteousness. They don't know better. But we don't outwork our righteousness, because we can become judges in that. We work out his righteousness in us. And as you dwell on that and you allow the Lord to actually work out his righteousness in and through you, you'll be absolutely surprised. You know, one of the key things in outworking righteousness, when ungodliness approaches you, what does the scripture tell us to do? It says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. It says, say no. It says, say no. So when ungodliness and unrighteousness prevails in your life, whether whatever you're doing, whether through your friends, through TV, through business transactions, whatever you do, you need to say no to ungodliness. And when you do that, you're standing in the righteousness of God, and the kingdom of God is advanced because you are standing in righteousness. You know, and there's a proverb, I don't know exactly where it is, but a nation is exalted by those who stand in righteousness. And the solution for this nation is prayer, but when we stand for righteousness. When we as a nation say no to the things that are happening around us. Not just, yeah, we'll accept it. We say no to these things, and you'll be absolutely surprised when you stand up in that righteousness and you obey the Lord in that. God doesn't work out anything else but righteousness. His ways are always right, according to his will and according to his way. So I encourage you, firstly, as you want to grow deeper in Christ, outwork his righteousness in and through your life. Secondly, as Paul said, that I may know him, will grow in the, that we may grow in the knowledge of Jesus. And we understand the Greek from that, the depth of the Greek that I've been referring to Dr. Michael Eaton and his commentary on this. The Greek, he says, my purpose is to get to know him. And that is what Christianity is. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. And Christianity is not just a relationship. It's a relationship with God and to become intimate with him. And you see, a lot of the world doesn't know that, and maybe a lot of Christians don't know. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. He is alive. He was dead, but he's alive. And he's there for us today, and we need to get to know him as person God, but also as person God that is our friend and companion. And I'm telling you, that is a journey of joy and wonder that the church and individuals might forsake you. Your family may forsake you. Your business colleagues might forsake you. But Jesus will never forsake you. And he's the one, is our true friend and our true companion. And he is the one that we've got to grow in. And now, that takes time. That takes effort. That takes effort on your behalf to draw closer to him and allow him to become your friend and your companion. And when you start to talk to him and you start to treat him as God, but you start to treat him as your friend and you start to share your life with him. You know, the other day in this relationship with God, God wants us to be real. And you know, God can laugh. Do you know that? He laughs. He created us with that emotion to enjoy laughter and to see the fun of things. And I actually sat before the Lord and I told him a joke. And I sensed God laugh. That's our relationship that we have with our Lord. It's not this austere religious and pomp and ceremony and you got to be dressed in these and thous. God is real. And what I mean is there's a reality in relating to him. And I'm asking you to humble yourself before the Lord. And in humbling yourself before the Lord, love him because he loves you, and relate to him in the beautiful person he's created you to be with your personality type. I'm a different personality type to every one of you, because the Bible tells me that every one of us is unique. Even though we are his creation, and even we are his new creation, we are still unique. And your personality type is different to everyone else. You find that in marriages, don't you? Your husband and your wife are not something like you. We all see things differently. It's the same in our relationship with God. But God knows you. But will you get to know him personally? Allow a deeper knowledge and intimacy to grow with him. And I want to just say, as out of that, even in that friendship, one of the key things, as we understand that he is God, God needs to be worshipped. I don't know if you understand that. I was just reading in Exodus 20 again about the Ten Commandments, and the Lord said, I'll have no other gods before me. No other gods. Why am I jealous, God? Why? It's not jealousy that is evil. It's a jealousy because of love. And he desires that we worship him. And I want to encourage you as you learn to worship him, it's a process. Learn to worship him, yes, with song, but learn to worship him with your words and to give him glory and to give him honor and to give him thanks. And out of that, just grow deeper in your relationship with God. You see, to study the Bible is good. But if it's just that end, to study the Bible, you'll become a theologian and you will know all things about Scripture and you'll be very wise in a sense from Scriptures, but you will not know God. You see, we've got to have the mix of two. We've got to understand the Scriptures and know the Scriptures so we can know about him. But we've got to have this personal, intimate knowledge about him. And with that, and you know, that's a track record. When you live with God, And you work with him and you see his goodness and you see his greatness and you see the answers to your prayers where you see him go before you in the things that you do, that tells you, you get a personal knowledge of who God is. It's the times when the enemy has buffeted you and you're able to stand up in his name and resist him. When you've been sick and he's actually healed you. When you've had financial difficulty and he's provided for you. When the things where you're emotionally broken and you think there is no hope, but God comes for you. You see this intimacy. You see there's a relationship in as you walk life that you see him for who he is. And this is knowing Christ. It's not just the mountaintop experience with you on the top and it's a party and there's rejoicing and there's celebration. It's in the valley too, Psalm 23. When things are dark too, God is there with you and you get to know him. And Paul gets to this place, as I said earlier, he said after 30 years, he wanted to know Christ. And that's part of our vision here, is to know our Lord Jesus Christ. And I wanted to say that's an emphasis that will always be here. It's not anything else but Christ. Get to know him. It's out of that. That's the strength of what we are called to do. Because again, we're not practicing a religion. We're not having a form of outworking of an organization. We are about the King and his kingdom. And getting to know him and outworking that. And I really encourage you to get to know Jesus your Lord and Savior. And you know what it is? Sometimes go and knock on the door of the Lord and say to him, Lord, I really would like to know you. And when you ask him that simple but yet profound question, God will answer that because he's looking for your humility. Because when you say, well, I know all about you, well, I'm telling you, you know nothing. Because the things of God are secret. They are hidden and only come by revelation. And when we humble ourselves before the Lord and we believe and we ask in faith, God reveals himself to us. You know, one of the greatest things in walking and following the Lord is the presence of God. Israel walked in the desert, but the presence of God was always with them. They could see the tabernacle. They could see the temple. The presence of God was there. At times, the Shekinah glory revealed itself. And sometimes now, under the new covenant, we don't always seem to sense the presence of God. But we need to know, when last did you experience the presence of God? If it was ages ago, that's not good enough. Because God is always there. And he wants to reveal himself to us. Yes, we don't get hung up about that thing, but the reality, you need to know when last you actually met with the living God, because he's not holding himself back from you. And maybe it's not him that's the problem, it's you. And maybe you've got a hardened heart, and maybe you're not sensitive to him, and maybe you are pushing him away. And this is not to point a finger at you, this is to get you closer to him. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Yeah, that's my cry to all of us, that we would know the Lord Jesus Christ personally. And I love the testimonies where you've actually heard the Lord and you've spoken about him tenderly and you know his presence and you know his love and you know his kindness. Yes, that's what I desire to hear from every one of you. But then Paul gets on and says, that's good, but there's more. And thirdly, that we'll experience the power of his resurrection. Now, understanding of the Greek word, the power, is dynamis, which is the expression of God's ability and his power. But the world doesn't understand that, and sometimes we get that all mixed up. There's a different power in the world that Paul is not talking about. We see that in the arena of the world, the political power, the financial power, the social power, the intellectual power. And we see that ravaging the world today. We see the whole conflict that is taking place between Russia and Ukraine and the rest of the world getting involved. There are many other conflicts. We see the Chinese trying to expand to Xi Jinping. All those things are happening there. That's not the power that Paul's talking about, this power of the resurrection. It's a supernatural power. It's a resurrection power. Now, what is this power that we sometimes come to construe as meaning? So often we think that power is mainly signs and wonders, that when you pray for the sick and the miracles, these begin to take place. Yes, that is the power of God. And when Jesus spoke to the waves and the wind, and the power of God was exhibited and they became still. It's not only that, it's more than that. Another aspect of the power of this resurrection is the assurance of knowing God. And I really do believe is that we are about to experience an outpouring of God's Spirit. And one of the greatest evidences of the outpouring of the Spirit of God is the assurance of salvation. The assurance of salvation for the church and for those that have come to know him. Because so many people are doubting. So many people are in unbelief. And God wants to bring us to a place where we have the assurance that we are in Christ. And out of this assurance that the revival that comes, there's an outpouring of the Spirit. And we read that in Acts chapter 1, you receive power when the Spirit of God comes upon you. What does that power produce? It's boldness. And you know, last week, the Lord encouraged us through that song, It's Harvest Time. But it's going to take boldness. Now, it's not something boldness that we can crank up. It's a boldness that comes by the power of the Spirit of God, where you are available and you say, I'm going to speak. And I really believe as we go forward and we allow this power of the resurrection that dwells within us to be exhibited through us, this boldness would arise. What was the key thing under the early Christians, the apostles, we see in the book of Acts? They were astounded that these were just fishermen, but the boldness they had, that they went in proclaiming Jesus in the temple and wherever they found themselves in the marketplace, they were astounded. And what did the early church pray for? It prayed for boldness. Boldness to proclaim who Jesus is, the resurrected Christ. Then this power of the resurrection is also to be overcoming sin and how the world needs to overcome sin and how the church needs to overcome sin. I believe the church dabbles with sin. It gambles with sin. It plays and says, oh, well, I'll fall into sin and then the Lord will forgive me. No, 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 no. We don't dabble with sin. We don't play with unrighteousness. We say no to those things. And yes, if we do fall, God forgives us, absolutely. But we don't play that game and say, no, well, I can have one foot here and another foot here. We've got to say no to those things. You know, one of the hardest days that I had, I grew up in Germiston. I had the opportunity to be part of a scout group. And once I graduated from that, we landed up in a group called Rovers Senior Scouts. And we did a lot of things. And I came to know the Lord in that process. And hear my heart, they were good men and still are good men today, but they were worldly men. And they loved the things of the world. And eventually, I had to say no. Because I wanted to follow Christ. I wanted to do his things. And I needed to say no to those things. So that day I said to them, guys, I love you, but you know the reality, I found Christ and I need to follow him. I can't participate in this way of living that you are participating in. It was one of the hardest things I've ever done because I loved them. And yes, some of them are still my friends today, but I thank God that I had to lose that I might gain Christ. Because you don't know what you can gain until you've lost it. That subtraction has got to take place before you find this addition. Unfortunately, that's how it works. If you do not do the subtraction, you will not get the addition. That's how the maths of the kingdom of God actually works. And I want to just say is that I said, okay, I'm going to overcome the sin that might pervade in my life. Next is that this power comes to give us new life. And we're all discovering that, this new life as a new creation, that this life that Christ has given us, the Bible talks about the Zoe life that we received. The joy of the Lord. We're not dark and gloomy and dull, but we've been given the joy of the Lord. And the joy is not about your circumstances. The joy is something that has come that rises up within you. And then also we lose the attachment to the things of this earth and what the earth can produce. So often we see in the workplace men and women are fighting for high salaries and position, and there's jockeying and all these things that are going on. And yes, it's good to be promoted and to rise up the corporate ladder. But at the end of the day, if that is your goal, it will end in failure. It must be first Christ. And then the power that comes in prayer. And as I just encouraged you earlier, I really want to trust that you will find power in prayer. That when you pray, there's answers. When you pray, people are set free. When you pray, the sick are healed. Then there's power of this resurrection, the knowledge of God's will. That, yeah, I hope you pray the Lord's Prayer regularly. Father, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We've got to learn to find the will of God, and it takes the revelation of the Holy Spirit to find the will of God. Every one of you will battle, and you will have to contend to find the will of God in circumstances. There are things ahead of you that you've got to hear God. And God has orchestrated and allowed it to take place. That you got, the only place that you can get there is before him and to find his will. And when you submit yourself to him and humble yourself before him, he will give you the peace. And he will say, my son, my daughter, walk this way. And then you will find the blessing of God as you follow him in doing his will. And lastly, in this aspect of power, we will impact a community. And I want to say the reality where God has placed you in to live and to work is being ordained by God. And you've been placed there to be a light to the nations and to transform and to change people where they are. And you have that responsibility. Even if you are in a place where you are a servant, you're there to change your boss. It's called managing upwards through the kingdom of God. You can change the circumstances, change our communities, and we need to be doing that. We need to be knowing our neighbors, not our neighbors in the workplace, but our neighbors at home, and let's trust God to do that. And then the power of God also comes through the resurrection, is to know the mind of Christ, how we need the mind of Christ, to have his thinking, to have his thoughts, and when we have his thoughts, we have his words, and we can speak life and truth into that. And then fourthly, this is where the difficult one comes. He will experience the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, so often the gospel that is preached today, this portion is left out. It's not part of the fullness of what Christ has for us. They talk about the blessings and the prosperity, but Paul says, may I share in his sufferings and become like him in his death. And I want to just say to us today, and I want to encourage you, and as in the book of Acts, you will go through hardships and you will go through trials. Why? Does God hate you? No, he doesn't. Does the devil hate you? Yes, he does. And does he want to destroy you? Yes, he does. Does he want to rob you and steal you of the word and everything that God gives? Yes, he does. But God doesn't want that. So you will be buffeted at many sides, and the enemy will be responsible for that. But sometimes God will allow you to go through a trial and go through a hardship. Why? That you can find him, and you can find his grace, and you can find his power, because he wants to reveal himself to you. What was the greatest expression of God's power and God's grace? It was the cross. And the cross was the greatest place of suffering. And Jesus submitted to that and said, well, I will go to the cross because this is my Father's will. But in that suffering and in that torment and being whipped for us and being cursed for us and taking on our sins for us, and not only that, being separated from his Father forever, it was the greatest outpouring of the power of God. Because in that suffering, the grace of God and the mercy of God could be expressed and the power was exerted on Christ and us for all creation. And I want to just say, if you want to find who your God is, there's a fellowship in his sufferings. Now, I don't pray for you to go through sufferings. I don't pray for you to go through hardships. And it hurts. I'm a pastor. It hurts when I see that you go through difficulties and you're going through these things. But sometimes God allows these things to take place that you might find him and you might find the power of God. So when you find yourself in that dark place, when you find yourself going through these difficulties and these trials, look up and rejoice. The resurrection power is at hand. It's the pattern of the cross. It's not just the suffering, but it's the power of the resurrection that comes. The two go in hand in hand. This is still applicable today, and may we find that. And yes, we need one another in those times. Don't run away from the church in that time when you're going through tough times. It's the time to be part of his body where you can be cared for, where you can be loved for, and where God can work together with others to nurture you, to get you to grow up into him. So experience the fellowship of his suffering. So Paul had all these things going through. And then fifthly, he will reach resurrection reward. And that's verse 11. By any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Michael Eaton says in the translation, it says, in the hope that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Now, this is a very interesting point, is that this resurrection from the dead is not the rapture. My understanding from this is that everyone, every human being will be resurrected to face judgment. Every human being, those that are saved, those that are lost, the godly, the ungodly, everyone will be raised from the dead, but there will be a judgment that will take place. And for those who do not know Christ and those that have never called upon him for his grace and his salvation, we know the sad news and the bad news is that there's a judgment. And not because they've done anything wrong, because they haven't believed. That's the reason why they haven't believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reward for that is eternal damnation. And we understand from that, and it's the worst cry that we can ever understand, is for someone to go to hell and to be burning and gnashing of teeth and the lake of fire forever. I think sometimes you need a revelation of hell as much as you need a revelation of heaven, because then we would not be so complacent about our unbelieving family and would actually be a thorn in their flesh and get them to actually make a decision to come to know Christ when God gives you that opportunity. But here, this resurrection that Paul is actually talking about seems to be another side. This is the resurrection is an occasion of reward for the godly. The Bible speaks about being worthy of the resurrection, that when all are raised, God wants to give glory at our resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, it says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So there seems, at the resurrection, your labor that you do in the Lord will receive a reward. This is what the scripture that Paul's getting to us to encourage us. There's a prize to be won, that the goals that to be attained. And Paul gets to this place and said, I haven't really arrived yet, but there's a prize that I'm going to get in the resurrection of my body. I'm still in the living Christ. I want more of the resurrection power. I accept every suffering, but I hope that I'll attain the glorious resurrection to honor and reward. And in Matthew 29, 46, sorry, Sean, I didn't give you that one. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. Now, my understanding of this is that at the resurrection, you're not going to be judged for sin. You're going to be judged for what you've done in obedience to the Lord, where you've walked with him and you've obeyed him and you've served him. In Colossians, it says, serve the Lord Christ. We have a role to serve him, and there's a reward ahead of us that God is going to give to us for our faithfulness and obedience as we have followed him and we've done what he's called us to do. That's why it's very, very important to obey the Lord. Because your reward is an eternal reward. And I don't think you can work it backwards. You can say, well, if I had done this back there, can I have this? It doesn't work like that. It's a final judgment. It's a final judgment. And if you were lacking in the outworking of serving the Lord here on earth, your reward may be depleted in all eternity. Now, I want to encourage us, because I believe all of us, it's not about the mansion in heaven. I don't know what the actual reward is, but I know there's an inheritance that we have in Christ. It's not only the salvation of our souls, there's a reward. The Bible says that we're going to become kings of kings and Lord of, you'll be the Lord of lords. So my understanding is that there are kingdoms out there that God has prepared for us that we will rule and reign over. What is God destined for you? I know he's destined the best for you. But will you achieve that? I don't know. Will I achieve it? I don't know. Because I know I might take the wrong turn. And I might do the things. And I might think, I'm fine. Where really you're not. And the challenge you see here today is, don't miss the mark. Don't miss the mark of achieving what the Lord has for you. And allow him to do this in your life. This resurrection is there for honor and reward. And so often, a lot of people get to the place where, well, I believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My salvation is secure. Yes, your salvation is secure. You are not going to hell. But will you get reward? Now, my perception, when Jesus said in Revelations that he will wipe away every tear, I believe that is the loss where you realize where you've missed the mark and you haven't fulfilled what God has got for you. Now, I can't tell you what that is, but all I'm just saying, be faithful to the Lord that you will receive an inheritance. Now, maybe I'm human and maybe you don't, we don't always understand this, but I want a reward. Do you want a reward? I'm prepared to give up everything on earth to have an eternal reward. If it's all about this place on earth, and I just understand from Scripture is that when you give up everything, you get everything. And if we give up everything and we follow the Lord and do everything according to what he guides us and leads us into, there's a great reward. And I don't know what, as again I say, I don't know what that reward is, this inheritance that the Lord is, the wonderful, faithful Lord that we have as something for every one of us. But I don't want any one of us to miss that. Now the question is, what is God telling you in the outworking as you follow in him to fulfill? Because some are captains of thousands, some are captains of tens, and there's a different reward for the different level. So there might be one that's just a faithful servant doing the menial task, and the reward is great because God is a just God. And there might be one where they have this high profile and seemingly to the rest of the church, he's got everything, but his reward is little because he hasn't been faithful in that. I don't know that this is the just God that he is, but I want to say, are you faithful to do what God has called you to do? That your resurrection on the day when the Lord actually comes, this is not the rapture, that you will receive honor and reward from the Lord, because I really believe the Lord wants to glorify us in the resurrection. And that's something to look forward to, that the day of resurrection that you will receive your reward. What a wonderful welcome, not only to see Jesus, but there's this reward that God has for us. Amen. Christ's reward is our inheritance. So in conclusion, let's be living for Jesus. Let's get to know him. Want to know the power of his resurrection? I really do believe that power of the resurrection is the anointing. May we all operate under his anointing. May we accept suffering as the pattern of the cross to know the power of his resurrection. And when we go through that, know that the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. And fourthly, in the hope that you will attain the glorious resurrection to honor and reward. Now the choice is ours. Will you pursue Christ and pursue his ways and allow him? If Paul encouraged the church that was in a good place at Philippi to go deeper and further, and I want to just say, you're a good church. You're a loving church. And the Lord loves you and we love you and we know that you are following the Lord. But God wants us to go deeper, and may we pursue him, and may, as you walk out of this place today, may it not gone in this year and out that year, may you contemplate and meditate on what God is actually saying to you today, and may there be a response from you to him, to go deeper and to go further with him. Amen. I'd like us to pray, please. For those online and those of us here today, maybe you've heard the word of the Lord today and the Lord has convicted you and you realize that you don't know him. You know about him, but you don't know him. You've never come to a place of intimacy with him. And if that's you today, I believe the Lord Jesus is here today to knock on the door of your heart and ask you to come in and to be with him. And if that's you here today and you want to make a decision to follow Jesus, to repent of your sins and to come to a place where he is your everything, he's here to meet with you today. And if that's you today, will you say in your heart today and confess with your mouth and say after me, Lord Jesus, I see you as my Savior and my Lord. And I confess you as my Lord and Savior. And will you bring me into your kingdom and will you make me a new person? And will you enable me to follow you now and help me to be faithful to go forward and to receive this reward that you have planned for my life? I just want to say to you, Lord Jesus, I belong to you now. I no longer belong to myself. I am totally yours now. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. And then to everyone over here today, if the Lord has pricked your heart, he has stirred you, not with knowledge, but stirred you with conviction and revelation, understanding of his ways, and has spoken clearly to you today, and you want to respond to him, will you respond to him in your heart today? And as I pray this prayer and believing for you and myself, because I want to go deeper too, I'm not satisfied where I am, that you would respond to him as I pray now. So Heavenly Father, as you've spoken to us through your word today by the Holy Spirit, Lord, we want to choose life and we want to choose abundant life. And we want to go deeper to know you, to understand the power of your resurrection, this knowing of your sufferings and to attain this inheritance as a reward that you have for us. Father, our understanding is weak. But as we submit to you and humble ourselves before you, Lord, will you take us on this path of righteousness and bring us into our inheritance as we love you and as we serve you. May we be found faithful as we honor you and glorify you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Quinton, and over to you. Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Thank you.